Please open your Bibles now to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're taking a little time off of our study of the Sermon on the Mount to focus in on officers for the church. We're hoping to have an election of elders and deacons here coming up the end of February or perhaps into March, depending on how things go. But we're targeting the end of February. We've mentioned that in our elder report to the congregation, as well as we've brought it up several times in the last several months, the need for God to provide officers, particularly elders. And so this morning I want us to focus on the office of elder. And this will be a review. We've covered it 2.5 years ago. We had an election of officers around that time. But it's something that we need to come back to and reflect upon from God's Word. What is God's plan for the leadership of His church? We need to take a look at that and make sure that we continue to follow in the ways that God has outlined in His Word. I'll be focusing on verse 1 in our study this morning. I'd like to read verses 1 through 7, which describe the elder. Please give attention. This is God's holy word. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Well, it's stating the obvious, but good leadership is very important for the successful function of any organization. And we see that exemplified in many different realms of society. We see that in the business world. We see that in the military. We see that in the academic realm, in academic institutions. We even see that in team sports, if you enjoy that type of thing. But without good leadership, things fall apart. Things don't work and don't function properly. Well, that's true in the church as well. If the church did not have faithful leaders, there would be disorder and disintegration. The church would be unproductive and ineffective in its mission. There would be chaos and there would be confusion. There would be error and immorality. But God in His wisdom has provided leadership in order to promote order in His church. He has provided for humble servant leadership, the humble servant leadership of qualified elders. Jesus Christ has given overseers in His church and to His church. He's given them responsibility to bear authority in order to shepherd His flock. When overseers serve faithfully, the church is blessed and bears fruit. When they are unfaithful, when they fall into error, disaster results. The church in Ephesus is the church that is in view here in 1 Timothy. And they were experiencing the fallout from the influence of false teachers. Paul writes to instruct and encourage Timothy in the restoration of that church. And in effect, in these pastoral epistles, he gives a manual for church conduct and life. And one essential part of healthy church life and function is faithful and effective leadership. That's what he focuses on here in chapter 3 of this letter. This morning we will be focusing on the office of elder. He touches on both the office of elder and deacon in this chapter, but we'll be looking at the office of elder in our study. And we'll be looking at it in three parts. First of all, we're going to go back and look at the background of this office, and then the need for it in the church, and then finally, how it is a noble work. But first of all, the background of the office of elder. I think it's really important for us to recognize that the office of elder is not merely a New Testament concept. It's not something that was just constructed at the time of the apostles and implemented at that point in redemptive history. Elders have functioned throughout the history of God's people. We have no record of when exactly the office was originated, but its roots may lie in the patriarchal system where God gave ruling authority within families and within households. In the days of the patriarchs, the oldest member of the family became the head of the next generation. And that was the case with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who were covenant representatives as well as heads of their households. If we look over a quick survey of the Old Testament, we see how elders functioned throughout the history of Israel. Elders were present in Egypt before the Exodus. They were present in the wilderness during the Exodus, or after the Exodus from Egypt. They were present in the time of Joshua and in the period of the Judges. They were active in the time of the kings and in the Babylonian captivity. We have a record of elders functioning. After Israel's return from captivity, elders were present. They were present during the life of Christ as officers in the Jewish nation. And Jewish elders continued to function during the time of the apostles. And so you can see that the apostles' practice of appointing elders in all of the churches that were being established was not a new concept. It followed the biblical pattern that had been established by God over the centuries. When we look at the New Testament, we see that there are two Greek words used for the office of elder. One is presbyteros, and that should have a familiar ring to you if you think of the name of this church. It's the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And so we get our word Presbyterian from this Greek word. It means elder. The other word is episkopos, and it's rendered bishop or overseer. Both of these words in the New Testament are referring to the same office of elder. They're not two different offices, overseer and elder. The office of elder is a ruling office. And the meaning of these two words really convey that sense. Elder speaks to the spiritual character of the one who is mature in the faith, who rules in the church. Bishop or overseer refers more to what? The work, the function of the elder as he oversees, watching over the flock in his charge. Elders are called to shepherd the flock of Christ, which we'll talk about more later. But what I want you to see here is that this pattern of appointing elders, of elders leading God's people, is not merely a New Testament concept, but it's a pattern that God has established from the very beginning of redemptive history and continues in the church today. Secondly, we see the need for qualified elders. Think for a moment again about the context of this letter, 1 Timothy. Paul was writing to Timothy from Macedonia after leaving him in Ephesus to correct false teaching that had arisen in that Ephesian church. Only 5 or 6 years earlier, Paul had said that tearful goodbye. Remember when he gathered with the Ephesian elders and they had that tearful parting in Acts chapter 20. He had planted that church in Ephesus about 3 or 4 years before that. And when it was time to move on, at that time when he met with those elders, he warned them that false teachers might arise. Savage wolves might come in among them. Well, now, it was probably about 63 A.D., Paul's concern about those false teachers and false influences had materialized. Before leaving Macedonia, Paul had taken a radical action. He had actually excommunicated two individuals, Hymenaeus and Alexander. But Timothy was now faced with the difficult assignment of weeding out the rest of the false doctrine that was being promoted. One part of that process was for him to appoint qualified elders to serve as leaders in the church. If that church was to be the pillar and support of the truth, remember that comes later there in 1 Timothy 3. If it was to be the pillar and support of the church, it would need faithful elders to lead in guarding and proclaiming and upholding the truth. So that's the context. Well, think about the church today. We also need qualified leaders to lead the church. One commentator notes, as goes the leadership, so goes the church. And we can think of many examples of that. Over time, the character and the spiritual vitality and the ministry of the church is a reflection of the leadership. If leaders are rooted in God's Word, the church will be rooted in God's Word. If they are given to prayer, the church will be prayerful. If they are outreach oriented, the church will also have that passion for witness. If they are open and sincere and kind, the body will also develop these qualities of character. And the opposite is also true. Leaders who are unloving, who are unfaithful to Scripture, who are hypocritical, they will also convey these characteristics to the church. Their influence will have a negative impact. As Ezekiel 22:30 indicates, God is looking for overseers who are willing to stand in the gap before Him on behalf of His people. And that takes courage, it takes wisdom, it takes compassion, it takes the work of God's Spirit in our hearts and our lives as leaders, because we can't do this on our own. As congregations, we need to be praying then for God to raise up faithful leaders in His church throughout the world, but especially right now, here, in this congregation of God's people, that He would be raising up and putting on the hearts of those of His choosing and make those recognizable to the members of this congregation to serve in the capacity of elder. Jesus said in Matthew 9:37 and 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." Pray. Pray for God to raise up leaders and workers for the harvest. Well, that brings us thirdly to the noble work that is an elder's calling. Paul uses the second of five trustworthy sayings here in these pastoral epistles. The first of those trustworthy sayings is in the first chapter, 1 Timothy 1:15. We read there, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." First of the five trustworthy sayings. Now, certainly all of Scripture is inspired by God and profitable, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says. But it is as if Paul is shining a spotlight on these statements here for us. They are worthy of extra consideration and reflection. These statements, these five sayings, trustworthy sayings, are concise summaries of doctrinal truth that were widely known and repeated in the church. And so Paul brings them to mind. What does this statement mean that we have here in our text, 1 Timothy 3:1? It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. Well, first of all, it indicates that God has called men to serve as elders. This is clear from the list of qualifications that we have in the text. Paul indicates that the candidate must be the husband of one wife. And masculine pronouns are used throughout. 1 Timothy 2:12 also indicates this principle, where Paul writes, "But I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man." That's not God's plan. It's not His the way He has structured the authority in His church. The first qualification listed in our directory for church government states, "Those eligible to be called as ruling elders must be male communicant members in good standing of the Reformed Presbyterian Church." And it's just reflecting what the Scripture is teaching us here. Secondly, this statement describes the work of the elder. It's a fine work, Paul says. The Greek word means good or excellent or worthwhile, noble. And the term work refers to a specific job or a task. If we think back to that meeting of Paul and the elders, the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 28, he really sums up why this is such a fine work. We read, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And here's the reason. "To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." See, in the eyes of God, the church is precious. Why is it precious? Because He purchased it with the blood of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the work of an elder is difficult, and it's overwhelming. But we have the greatest incentive. We serve as those saved from eternal destruction by the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we labor to shepherd those who also have been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. It is truly a noble task to which elders are called, and one worthy of sacrificial service. Well, what does that work include? As shepherds of the flock of Christ, elders must know the sheep. Just like a good shepherd. And Jesus, the good shepherd, who knew His sheep. And we need to do that through visitation and through interaction in other ways. They must also lead the sheep. A shepherd leads the flock, and typically the flock, the sheep, follow after the shepherd. And you see that in Middle Eastern pastoral scenes. But particularly, we lead the sheep by modeling Christ. And Paul makes an amazing statement in the Scriptures. He says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Of course, that takes the grace and power of God working in us. And they must feed the flock through faithful biblical instruction. You notice one of the qualifications is able to teach. They must also guard the sheep. Guard the sheep from error, from sin, from attacks, both from within the body and from without. There's a protective role that elders have. And notice that they must watch over themselves. That's the first thing that Paul says in Acts 20. Guard yourselves and this flock that's entrusted to your care. The Reformed Presbyterian Directory of Church Government gives a list of responsibilities that develops these general principles. And I want to just read those to you to refresh your memory of them. Elders are to be involved in active pastoral care of the congregation, regular attendance and participation in session meetings, involvement in and oversight of the teaching ministry of the congregation, involvement in and oversight of the observance of the sacraments. Training of the whole congregation to mature discipleship. Ministry to the erring and lost. Visitation of the sick and needy. Dedication to the advancement of the whole Church of Christ. Regular participation in the higher courts of the Church, presbytery and synod meetings. And meeting jointly with the Board of Deacons periodically for evaluation and growth in their respective ministries. Well, as you can see, these are weighty tasks. And they can't be accomplished apart from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So pray. Pray for your elders. Pray for your leaders to be empowered by God to fulfill this fine work, this very solemn and yet joyful task that God has given. Thirdly, the statement talks about the elder's desire as well as his work. And this is really important. As we think about selecting men who are qualified to serve as an elder, and as we think about selecting deacons, there's relevance here too, but particularly as we think about the office of elder. The first word that is used here for desire in the text, is it says aspire, I believe, is the translation in the NASB. That first Greek word means to stretch out. And it carries the idea of striving for something, or being eager for something, or aspiring to something. And so it's a trustworthy statement, if any man aspires to the office of an elder. What the focus is there is on the external action rather than the internal motivation. That he is striving for something. The second word expresses more the internal motivation. It means desire, to desire or long for or to have a strong passion for something. And of course, God's the one who puts that there. So these words together describe the man who is to serve in the office of elder. He's to be motivated by an inner passion to minister to God's people. And that's going to be evident outwardly. He's going to be serving already. He's going to be pursuing activities of service in the church. Not in a selfishly ambitious way, but rather with humility. He's striving for holiness in his own life. He's responding to teaching and instruction. And he is making himself available for service in the church. He's not waiting until he gets elected to serve. He's already been actively engaged in service. For the man who is genuinely called by God, this desire is placed by the Holy Spirit in his heart. We talk about the internal call of God. That's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit has put that burden for service in that capacity in the heart of that individual. But that internal desire alone does not qualify a man for the office of elder. With that desire, there must be godly character. There must be godly ability and skill that correlate with that office. And there must also be the recognition of these qualities by the people of God. And that's why we have the external call of the church. There needs to be that internal call of God, but there also needs to be the external recognition of these gifts and these qualities and this passion to serve by the people of God. Next week we will be focusing more on the qualifications, the characteristics of the elder. But as we have been considering the office of elder today, let me just urge you, each one, to cultivate that desire to serve Christ in His church. God has given each one of you spiritual gifts to be used for the edification of the whole body. Are you holding back? Or are you exercising and developing those spiritual gifts that He has given to you? Willingly take advantage of the opportunities that you have to serve in this body. Romans 12:6 says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Exercise your gifts as you seek to serve Jesus Christ. Well, we've looked here this morning at briefly at the background of the elder, the need for the elder, and finally the noble task of the elder. As you can see, that is not an easy thing. The task of the elder is very challenging, and it can only be carried out by the grace and the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a task for which Christ equips men in the church. Pray that God will give clear direction as we anticipate this selection of elders for this congregation in the future. And pray for God to raise up workers for His church here in Shawnee and throughout the world. And then let me also encourage you not to take for granted those whom God has gifted this church to serve in the capacity of elder as well as deacon. Give thanks for the faithful men that God has placed over you who are seeking to provide spiritual care for you, to seek to see you grow up to maturity in Jesus Christ. Help them in their task by supporting them in prayer, by encouraging them, by submitting to their leadership. That's what Paul calls us to do in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-13. And I'll close with that this morning. He says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." Amen. May God bless us to that end for His glory. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we praise You that when You ascended on high, You led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Elders were included in that list of gifts with which You bless Your church for the equipping of the saints for works of service. And we praise You and thank You for that. Lord, I pray that You would bless those elders that are currently serving in this body. We are weak. We are in constant need of Your grace and Your power. But we pray that You would uphold us and guide us, that we might be faithful in guarding our own hearts and lives, even as we seek to guard the flock, even trusted to our care. And Father, I pray that You would be directing in the selection of others, and that You would be working in hearts to put that inner call for service as an elder on hearts of those who are qualified. And that You would be giving wisdom to the members of this body, that we might see them that You are raising up and select them through the direction of Your Spirit. Father, help us most of all to be willing to use the gifts You've given us for the service of Christ in His church, that we wouldn't be holding back, but that we would be laboring faithfully and eagerly for the glory of our King and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.